As you heard, next month, God willing, we'll be heading to Italy to serve the Lord, and I would appreciate your prayers if you can pray for us. And usually the work of God is always twofold. He's working in us and then through us. So if you can pray for the work of God inside of our hearts and through us to the people that we will be meeting there in Italy at the conference center. But exciting times we are living, lots of things happening around the world, and God is working today around the world. And I want to speak to you today in a psalm that is a very challenging psalm, a very well-known psalm, and it's Psalm 139. I'm sorry for my Romanian, which is not existent so much, so I hope you may bear with me in English this morning. You may have heard lots of messages from this psalm. It's a psalm of David, and let me just read it to you. O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thoughts from afar. You scrutinize my path and my laying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand would lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. For you form my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully fought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was no one of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they should outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, men of bloodshed, for they speak against your wickedly. And your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with the utmost hatred. They have become my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. May God bless the reading of this psalm. And the verses that I want to concentrate this morning, I don't want to go through all the psalm. It's so rich on things. We see God's knowing everything, knowing you in every detail of your life. We see God's presence always with us. Wherever you go, God is there. Then David goes on to say that God is powerful more than anything. He knows everything. He's always with you, and he's powerful in any situation. And then he explains and speaks about God holiness. And the verses I want to see is those verses that we often hear a message from, and maybe at the end of a year, and we always stop and think of them. And I want to, again, this morning, with the busyness of our life, with the problems that we are facing today, we come to church to worship, trying to get away maybe of the difficulties that we find at work, maybe the difficulties in our family, or health problems. We come here trying to put them aside and to concentrate on Jesus. And here, today, I want to stop. And in some way, with all the problems you have, I'm going to bring you another problem. I'm going to give you another problem today that you can walk out of this room and say, I have one more problem. Thank you very much for speaking to us. But the reality is that the problem that I'm going to speak to you today is the root of all the other problems. And lots of times we come to church and we spend time praying to God, please help me from my problem. Help me in my family. Help me between the challenges that I face with my wife. Help me with the challenges that I face at work. My employees don't want to work. I shout at them and still they don't want to work. Or maybe it's your boss shouting at you because you don't want to work. Or maybe you work a bit. But to this morning, I want to stop and say, okay, let's put those things aside. I know lots of our prayers are based on those. But here, David found, and there's so many things that we can learn from David, found a prayer that he prays and says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there is any hurtful way in me. I don't know if you ever prayed this prayer, but one or twice in everybody's life, usually, they pray this, not really understanding what it means, or because they want to be spiritual, or because it sounds so nice to pray this. But praying this prayer brings a lot of consequence because God will start answering your prayer, revealing what's really the problem of your life. The Bible speaks about the heart being more deceitful than anything. The heart is deceitful. I came this morning wanting to ask you a question, examine. And my question is, you don't have to answer the person next to you. You don't have to answer me. But I want you to think about it. Between here in America, they're all about statistics, about numbers. So I'll give you from 1 to 10. What is your relationship with God? Is it a bad one? A 1? Terrible? You're not really caring about what God says in His Word? Is it a 5? Yes, I go to church. It's good, I sing, I do my things. Is it a 10? Like we were challenged this morning to seek after God with all our hearts, to be hunger after Him. I ask myself and I ask you, where is the scale? What is the scale that we have, 1 to 10? And lots of times as ourselves, we like to compare ourselves with other people. And we have individual in the church, or yes, I am a 5 to him, but I have a 10 to the other person. And we compare ourselves with each one. Instead, we see here that David understood that the only place to compare ourselves is with God Himself, is with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see here that if we compare ourselves with Jesus, let me ask you again, what is your percentage from 1 to 10? Because that is the reality of our hearts. We think we do good. We think we are good Christians because we come to church, we sing, we are faithful, we give. But where is the heart? And I'm challenged always about this passage, to realize that God doesn't care about what we do for Him. He doesn't care how much time you spend in some way trying to please God. He doesn't care how much praying you do. I don't say that praying is not bad. I don't know how much giving to the church or to the work of God you do. He doesn't care about that. What He cares is about your heart. Is about how much your heart is involved with the heart of God. David, the testimony of David was, I will look for a man whose heart is after me. A heart after God's own heart. And so we come here with this prayer that David is praying, search me, O God. When you start praying this prayer, He will start bringing challenges in your life, bringing problems to make you realize, where is your heart? Where is the problem? Are you getting upset? Are you getting angry? Are you not happy with life? Are you not happy with the situation that God brings you? And lots of times we give blame to the other person or to that situation or to things. Oh, if it just was different. We'll see the reality that the problem is not the situation. It's not the other person. It's me. And what God is bringing out. And the question that I have again with you is, how long far ago has the Holy Spirit revealed in your heart sin? Has He exposed sin in your heart? Because that's the work of the Holy Spirit, not only ministering to others, but ministry to our hearts. Has today God revealed sin in your life? Because if not, you have to question yourselves and say, where is the Holy Spirit in my life? Why is He not pointing the finger to those things that need to be changed? And attitudes that come out at work. Wow, that guy really upsets me. I really cannot stand him. Whoa, look at your heart. No, we look at him. We look at the other person. Oh, this is a terrible situation. How can I get out of it? And said, okay, God, what do you want to teach me through it? And so we see here, search me, O God, the cry of David. The cry and the willingness to have God examine him. And he just spoke in the psalm, God knows all things. He knows your heart. He knows what's inside there. The garbage, the trash that we are so good to hide. We are so good to deceive ourselves, to say, yes, I'm a good person. Today, I didn't get upset. Nothing really happened in my life, but I've been good. And this is why God, when we start praying that prayer, He starts revealing. He starts putting situation in your life. And I want to turn with you to the Gospel of Matthew. And you all know the parable of the sower. The farmer goes and sows the seeds. He goes and sows the seeds, and some fell near the road. Some fell in the rocks. Some fell in the thorns. And some fell on the good soil. And this is the explanation that Jesus gives about the parable. And it says in chapter 13, verse 18, let me read the passage, and then we'll hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one whose seed was sown beside the road. The one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word of God, immediately receives it with joy, yet he has not firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction and persecution arises, because of the word, immediately he falls away. And then one on whom seed was sown among the thorns. This is the man who hears the words, and the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth chokes the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one whose seeds was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word of God, who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. Let me picture here. The soil, it's the heart. We're speaking about the heart. We see that the seed is the word of God. We see that some people hear and don't understand what they're speaking about. They don't understand that the enemy comes and takes away the word of God straight away. Some instead hear the word of God. They rejoice. Wow, this is a great message. This is wonderful. They rejoice. They go out of the door and say, yes, I'm going to do it. But the sand, the earth is shallow. There's stones. So the sun comes. Persecution comes. Worries comes. Problems come. And it dies away. Then we have the third, when the seed is sown amongst the thorns. The earth seems to be good, it starts growing, but the thorns suffocate. And he speaks that those thorns are the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth. Desiring to be wealthy. Whatever you consider, the worries of this world, they come in our life and they suffocate what God wants to do in our lives. You see, what kind of ground are you in here today? Is your ground rejoicing and say, yes, this is the ground that I'm in? Let's be honest with God. Let's ask God to search our hearts. Remember always that the heart will deceive you. Your heart will say to you that you are good, that you are okay, when in reality, it's not. In reality, who knows? Maybe it is, maybe it's not. But then God will start testing, will start examining you. Okay, let me put you under an examination. And it's so true. I was a teenager. I was growing up in Italy, and I was playing basketball, and they took me to the oculist to do a test to see if everything was going okay. And when I went there and the doctor started speaking to my mom and says, yeah, there is some marks behind his eyes. There is some black marks and it's pretty concerning. I don't really know what's that about. We need to do more tests. So they took me to another doctor. They did more tests. They took me to another doctor. We went 3 or 4 doctors in about 3 or 4 weeks. In those time, I was wondering, what will happen if it's cancer? Maybe I'll be blind for the rest of my life. That means I cannot play basketball anymore. That means I cannot drive. I'll be invalid. What is all that about? And then throughout the 3 weeks, all those things were in my mind, was thinking, working. And then we went to the doctor and they said nothing. It was just nothing. It was not cancerous. It was just some marks. But what that revealed in my life, it revealed where my heart was. It revealed that my heart was not for God, even if I went to evangelize. Even if I went to church, I prayed, I did wonderful things, my heart was not in it. My heart was more interested in playing basketball and making a name after myself or driving a car or being healthy than in what God really was doing. You see, God brings tests, brings problems to reveal what's in our hearts. And to conclude, I want to just remind you, Jesus is going to Jerusalem to be crucified, and he starts speaking to the disciples and says, I'm going to Jerusalem to die. And Peter straight away says, what? No, you're not going to die. And Jesus had to rebuke Peter for stopping or thinking of stopping Jesus from dying on the cross. You see, when we come to the cross of Jesus, our hearts are revealed. Our sinful nature is revealed. What's inside our hearts in the depths is revealed. And the heart of Peter revealed that he didn't really want to see Jesus dying. He didn't maybe understand all the consequences. Then he goes on, and another time, he's speaking about the cross of Jesus Christ and him have to die for the salvation. And then he arrives to the place, Capernaum, and what happens? He's saying, what were you speaking about? The disciples, in the meantime, were speaking among themselves. And they say, nothing. And then we see that they were speaking to know who was the greatest among them. Wow. Jesus is speaking about the cross. And they're thinking about who's the greatest. Why? Because that was in their hearts. The cross of Christ and what Christ has done reveals what's in your heart. And then again, another time when he addresses this issue about him going to Jerusalem and dying for their sin, we see that James and John goes or tries to convince their mom to go and ask Jesus, can I sit at your right and left side? You see, that was their concern. Their concern was to be at the right hand to a prominent place. You see, when we are confronted with the cross, Jesus, when God tests us, he will reveal terrible things. It's like everybody here had a cup of tea. You have hot water, boiling water. The moment you put the tea back, it changes color. All the water gets contaminated. And that's really what it is. You see, are we willing for what God has in store for us? You see, David knew that to be led by the Spirit, to be led by God in the everlasting life, there needs to be searching. There needs to be things revealed in the heart of man so that they may be addressed, confessed, and say, yes, forgive me for my bad attitude. Yes, God, you died on that cross. We don't need to do anything. He did it all on that cross. And we need to just accept it. We need to just fall on our knees and cry, God, forgive my sin. Forgive that bad attitude and get freed from that. But we need to allow God to search our hearts. And I pray that today as we go back to our homes, maybe you're already thinking of what you will eat today or where you will go this afternoon. I hope and pray that your heart may be not the heart that the seeds fall near the road. If you don't understand it, then ask God to make it clear. Beg God to understand it. Let's hope that your heart is not like the one that falls or close to on the stones. And ask straight away, rejoice. Yes, this is a good message. Let's put it in practice. But there is no root. And it falls away. Or maybe persecution comes and it dies. It's too hard. I didn't sign for this. When I became a Christian, when I started going to church, I didn't sign for this. The reality is you sign your life to be God's slave, to be God's. Or maybe the wealth of this world is suffocating the word of God today. I don't know. Allow the Holy Spirit. Allow God to search us. And join in prayer with David and says, search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there is any wicked way in me. Test me. And lead me. That's the way to be led by the Spirit. For God to search. For God to expose. Let's not be afraid. Let's not be embarrassed of what people think, because the people will see it. It will come out. What's in your heart?
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God Almighty, we are grateful for your word. We are grateful that we can stop with the business of our life and come here. Stop with the problems of the lives and come and says, where is the root of the problem? Deal with the root of the problem. Deal with my heart. Reveal what's inside there so that, Lord God, I can confess it. I can repent, believe in the gospel, and be saved. Father God, if somebody here doesn't know you personally, I pray that you may touch their hearts, that they may repent. If there's someone here that is sinning, hidden, that they know what's in their heart, but they don't want to run away, I pray for conviction. That they may come back to you and says, I cannot do it by myself. Forgive me. Help me, God. Oh, Lord, I pray that we may become real and even pay the consequence of praying this prayer because it's for your kingdom. It's for you to guide us into everlasting life. It's for you to work in our hearts so that our testimony may be your testimony, that we may be like you. I pray this in your name. Amen.